Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino.
Are your cats making too much noise?
And the sheriff of this group, Lucas Jones.
Listen, I come in, I threat assess everybody who walks through that door. I give them a series of ocular pat-downs, and I make sure that we're going to be okay. This is my job.
Always sunny quotes aside, Lucas, we haven't done a podcast in over a week. What are we drinking?
Well, this week, Al, we are reviewing a Rogue beer, Shakespeare Oatmeal Stout from Rogue Brewing. It's an American stout, best paired, taken directly from their website, best paired with beef or desserts, two very broad categories. meat, not meat.
Dessert.
It's pretty dark in color, had a pretty big head on it. We're talking typical stout flavors, but a little bit of a leaning towards the earthy. More earthy notes, and this is probably from the fact that it's an oatmeal stout, but you're still getting coffee, you're still getting chocolate, which are musts for a dark stout that I would enjoy, at least. I'm all for the fruity stouts and the interesting stouts and the weird stouts, but for me, a good solid stout starts with coffee and chocolate. It comes in at 6.1% ABV. And a 60 IBU rating, but you can really barely taste any kind of hop bitterness. It's all coming from that coffee, dark chocolate ingredient. So don't worry about any kind of hoppiness. And really, for 60 IBUs, it's not that bitter.
No.
Continuing our ongoing discussion, apparently, about bitterness, the fact that it has that chocolate finish and it has more of an earthy tone to it, I think is mellowing out that IBU rating. I really, really like this beer. But before I give it my sort of rating, I'd like to send it over to Ryan, who also has been enjoying this beer.
Yeah, I was actually surprised. I really wasn't expecting a whole lot out of this one. It didn't really sound that appealing to me, also an oatmeal stout. But I was quickly proven wrong. The nose, when you're immediately hit with the chocolate and the coffee bean and the oats, it really just kind of, it's so satisfying. And the taste is so creamy and rich, which is nice. And I can actually, strangely, can understand why they suggest desserts with this. My only trouble with this is the lingering aroma or aftertaste that I was kind of getting. I don't know about you, if you got that or not.
What kind?
It just kind of lingers in the back of your throat, and like more than it should, I think.
I like that, and I think a good beer should stay with you. What I'm getting from that is that it, you get those flavors up front, you get like kind of a sweeter taste up front, and then the back end is where the bitterness stays. So that bitterness really hangs back while the sweetness kind of leaves you.
It definitely does here. I mean, it's good. It's just kind of a down note for me. It stays and it kind of just lingers too long, I think. I agree that it should stay with you, not just like water, go mm-hmm. away. But to me, that's the only bad thing. Other than that, powerful choice. Congrats to Al. We picked it. I'm sorry.
We picked it.
Congrats to us for picking
nice
it.
Nice job, Ryan.
Oh, yeah, nice job. So pat on our backs, and I'd have to give this a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay. So Al, let's send it over to you. What do you think?
Oh my God, this was such a good pick by me. I can't stop tasting it. Honestly, it's really, really good. Immediate roast. You know, You get, I mean, Ryan was kind of complaining about that aftertaste. I like it. I also feel that a beer should kind of stick with you, you know, like a good memory. And I'm going to have a lot of good memories about this beer.
No, it's they, you know, it excellent. Sticks around longer. Bad memories.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, it really doesn't make any sense. But no, this beer is really cool. Just the name itself. I mean, it's a Shakespeare oatmeal stout. It immediately caught my attention, especially because I was forced to have it because I bought it in a variety pack. But that doesn't take away from how awesome the bottle itself looks and how delicious the beer is. So I know we started rating the beers, which we probably should have been doing all along. I'd probably give it a definite 8 out of 10.
Well, and Ryan was talking about how it's kind of creamy. I would go in the opposite direction. I wouldn't say creamy, but I wouldn't say thin either. It's very bold flavors, like the bold bitterness, bold chocolate, bold coffee. But the mouthfeel is very light, which is interesting. It creates this like interesting, what am I really tasting here kind of a thing. And, you know, I'll get my standard extra sip.
Kind of hit me like a cappuccino a little bit.
Yeah, that's kind of a good descriptor for it. It's got that like a lighter coffee mouthfeel. Like, I would almost classify it more as a coffee stout, but I can definitely taste where the oats are coming in. They're coming in that, like, yeah, kind of an earthiness to it. I prefer my oatmeal stouts thicker with some lactose sugars in them. But as far as this beer goes, I really like it. You know where I can see myself using this beer?
Where?
We talked off the record, of course, about trying to create a really nice lamb and beef burger.
Right.
With some beer.
I was intrigued. You might actually come home for that.
With beer glazed bacon. And I think we may have found our beer to glaze the bacon
with. You know what? This actually would be really... This would go well with it.
Because lamb is very sweet. And bacon is salty. And this is like a nice little bitterness to kind of counteract that.
This would probably cure my aftertaste problem. But
So, yeah, maybe we'll do that in the next couple of weeks. And maybe post that recipe and give that a shot. So yeah, so I definitely give this probably say 7.5 out of 10. As far as just beers in general go, I think it's very good. As far as stouts go, it could be better in a few areas, but I really liked it.
Thank you, Lucas, for another wonderful review. And speaking of beer, tell us where you guys were last weekend.
Well, Al, while you were busy having a life up in the city, me and Lucas had the chance to experience Long Beach Island's first annual Hop Sauce Festival, which was sponsored by Jetty Rock and I believe some other foundations. It was quite, to our surprise, actually, it was a success in our eyes, at least. It was loaded. It had sauce, had food, had beer, had music. Really, the ultimate combination for a good time for a hot summer day. Well, first starting, it was friendly staff, just a friendly environment. It was so welcoming, so warm. Everybody was so nice, right, Lucas? Everyone was like super peaceful there. Everyone was like in their zen. The breweries came from all over the state. They gave you a 2-ounce glass where you got, you know, to try free samples for, you know, a fee, of course. You get the bracelet and you try as many as until you fall down, as well as eateries from the local places as well. And the hop sauce, which was from all over the state as well. The breweries ranged from Lucas, what were the breweries?
Well, the breweries kind of were a little all over the place. You had well-respected and established breweries like Flying Fish and Magic Hat, as well as Otter Creek. Brooklyn was there, so that was very interesting, as well as startup breweries like Pinelands Brewing, and one that we had no idea existed. Shipbottom Brewing.
That's literally 15 minutes from our doors.
Mm-hmm. Well, as the story goes with them, is that it's a couple of guys from New Jersey who moved to Pennsylvania to start their brewing business because of the restrictive laws. And now that those laws have been loosened, they're coming back to Shipbottom to actually open something up. So they're clearing up the red tape, and they hope to be open by July. And some of the eateries that were there, you had if you're from around at Long Beach Island, you had the Dutchman's, you had Chicken and the Egg, you had Buckaloo's, you had Shorefire Grill.
You had Arlington.
Yeah, Arlington was there. And you had some great hot sauce, too. I actually picked up a couple of business cards from some hot sauce people. And I mean, Ryan, I don't know if you tried the hot sauce later in the day.
No, I didn't.
But I have to say, as I was making the rounds, everyone was very helpful. They, you know, what's your level of spice? And to my credit, I didn't destroy my taste buds until the very, very last one that I tried, where, you know, the guy kind of reached under into a cooler and pulled out an unmarked bottle and said, here, try some of this. So I had a fantastic time. And like Ryan said, it was warm, it was welcoming, it was well organized, it was very clean. The demographic that was there was interesting. It was three types of people that I could easily identify. It was people our age, so like the 21 to, 25 crowd. Young families, so like families that were just starting out or just having children, so you can peg those people in like their 30s. And like old drinking buddies that have been drinking buddies since the war were there. And it, all in all, it made for a really great environment. As far as beers that stood out to me, I always like to think that things that stand out are the ones that stay with you days after an event without having to look. I mean, we live tweeted all our beers on the News Over Brews Twitter page. And the ones that stood out to me were three in particular. One from Ship Bottom Brewery. It was their Barnacle Bottom Stout. It was a jet black stout, creamy tan head, a little bit of oatmeal flavor, but more of a lactose quality to it, which I definitely liked. The first beer that I tried was something from Pinelands Brewing, was the Evergreen IPA. It was crisp and it was bitter, but it was a fresh bitter. It wasn't malty. It was very crisp and light and sharply bitter.
Yeah, I went back for that one a few times. That was good.
Yeah, and as I'm looking on their website, it says it's loaded with whole leaf hops in the kettle, and they dry hop during conditioning. So, you know, you're talking about a real attention to the bitterness. And the last one is from Rindwin Brewing, which we've talked about, I think, before. Yeah. And the only, it's not so much a complaint, but it's a trend. Everybody pretty much brought an IPA. And some of the IPAs ranged from super bitter and light to super bitter and malty to very malty and very mild, to a very easy drinking. But Rindwin kind of threw us a curveball. They had an English-style IPA.
Oh, my God.
Which used English hops and English malt, so it came out like a nuttier, almost like a browner.
Yeah, IPA. that was a twist. I actually didn't know what I was drinking when I had it.
Yeah, it was very good, and you know we made some, you know we exchanged some business cards with some breweries, and so hopefully we'll be able to get you some interviews, because, you know, the people from Flying Fish were very nice, and the people from Ship Bottom and Pinelands and Rindwin were very nice people, and so. Hopefully we can get you some interviews and show you what the inner workings of a brewery is like, all the way from the well-established ones like Flying Fish to what it takes for a startup to be successful. So look forward to that. Ryan, any closing thoughts?
No, I just can't express enough how much of an enjoying time I had. I mean, I really hoped it was going to be great, and it was great. I'm really excited for next year. Lucas was saying he hopes it doesn't get bigger. I think it will, because it was a success, but not too big, obviously, just enough to maintain. And I'm really, really excited for our opportunities that the breweries gave us. Everyone we talked to was very nice, very welcoming, very inviting. So we will give you updates with that, of course, and we look forward to bring the news to you about the breweries, how it's made, unlike you've ever seen before.
And I guess my final thought would be thank you to, you know, Long Beach Island. I know in an earlier podcast I kind of criticized their blatant attempt to appeal to the extreme youth crowd.
Yeah, you did. I'm pretty sure I was the only one out of the three of us that thought it was a good idea.
Get back in your corner.
Okay.
I drink my words, and I drink them out of a 2-ounce glass. So nice job. Can't wait for next year. And for those of you who aren't following us on Twitter, shame on you. Search News Over Brews on Twitter and follow us. And every time we go to an event, we'll live tweet what we're drinking. We'll post some pictures. You can follow us on Instagram, News Over Brews. We didn't Instagram anything from the festival, but we Instagram our beers every week and random things that we drink. So that's hop sauce in a nutshell, or in a hop leaf, if you will.
Well, it sounded like you guys had a great time. I'm very upset I couldn't make it, but hopefully next year that won't be the case. moving away from beer and going right into movie news, we have been talking so much lately about Marvel, and there's some good reasons. We already know that there's a lot of drama surrounding Ant-Man because, you know, famed cult director Edgar Wright was famously, you know, parted ways from Marvel for this project, from this project, and now they're still trying to find his replacement. But in other news, they've seemed to find the director for another Phase 3 property, the long-rumored Doctor Strange adaptation. Doctor Strange, if you guys are unfamiliar with him, he's pretty much a sorcerer. That's about it. That's all you really need to know. And they've seemed to have picked Scott Derrickson, who is famously known for films such as Sinister and The Exorcism of Emily Rose. So, Rye, I think you've seen Sinister. How is this directing choice, and does it, you know, does it keep up with Marvel's tradition of, you know, picking the right directors for the right projects?
Yeah, actually, I think this is a good choice because, you know, he's, once again, he's a solid storyteller slash director who's under the radar. He made a solid flick last year, solid movie last year, Sinister, which was good by all accounts. It was creepy. It had the right tone and had right direction. It was good. And this might seem like an odd choice for some, but, you know, that's Marvel's thing. They like to find people who are that no one thinks about. And they give him this daunting task to create Dr. Stephen Strange, the sorcerer of Marvel, pretty much. This is actually a movie, believe it or not, at the moment I am looking more forward to than Ant-Man. It could be awesome if it's not Johnny Depp, but it can be awesome if it's someone, I don't know, maybe possibly an unknown, maybe a possibly a veteran actor that no one's thinking about right now. However, I have a high hope for this movie. I hope it's awesome. And with Scott Derrickson on board, you're stepping in the right direction. He puts all of his effort. If you've seen his other projects, he's really good with story. He's involved with the story. He writes it. He's really into solid performances, characters. So this is a good direction for Marvel now after having a chaotic week last week with Daredevil and Ant-Man. So this is them kind of stepping in the right direction again. This is the right move for the movie Doctor Strange.
Now, Lucas, we've already discussed that you're not really the comic book fan in our group. Obviously, you do enjoy the Marvel movies and, you know, DC's movies as well. But what do you think about Marvel's plan of introducing these new characters? Like, you know, in the summer, we're going to be seeing the Guardians of the Galaxy. Obviously, they're planning Ant-Man and now Doctor Strange. Do you think, you know, a regular audience who is not necessarily a fan of comic books but enjoys watching, you know, superhero films, do you think they're going to keep going out and seeing these new characters just because they're part of this larger universe?
I think they will. My first instinct is to say no. But then as you think about it, the average person who doesn't understand comic books looks at these Marvel movies and is like, oh, this is a cool character. Oh, this is a cool character. This is a new movie. This is totally different. They don't see the, oh, well, these are the Phase 1 characters, and these tie into the Phase 2 characters, and now it's going to be Phase 3. It's going to tie into Phase 1, and you carry the 2 and divide by 6. And they don't see that. So all they're seeing are totally different films under the same moniker. So they know they're getting a superhero movie, but they don't necessarily know or care how it's tied in. And then when they see a movie like Avengers, they go, oh, that's cool. They brought all those heroes together. But they don't understand that this has been happening all along. So, like, where I don't know the story, but I know it through you guys, and I might be exhausted from all the different stuff happening, the average moviegoer just sees it as, oh, it's cool. It's another comic book movie. We'll see what happens. So I think they'll still maintain popularity. And like, you know, whether you're exhausted by it or not, they're really good movies.
What about the diehard fans? What do you think about them? Will they stay loyal?
Of course they will. I mean, you know, you guys are the diehards. You know, you've seen these characters in print for a long time. you know Marvel makes a good film. You know that. I mean, by and even their worst films are better than the average movie.
It's true.
So you're talking about very competent directors and writers and seeing childhood heroes on the big screen. I mean, everyone's going to go see it. And as long as they keep this sort of introducing new characters thing going on, I don't see this trend kind of dying anytime soon.
Well, I mean, I definitely agree with you, Lucas. The trend with these big universes, we're going to be seeing it, you know, with DC, you know, with the planned Batman Superman film, Dawn of Justice, with the terrible title, but still, you know, obviously with Justice in the title, you know that they're going to be expanding into the Justice League. So I think this trend is here to stay, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, especially for us comic book fans. It's going to be a great thing. We're going to be seeing, you know, these, like, you know, what we refer to as like these issue long arcs are now going to be on the big screen over years. So it's going to be very cool to definitely watch. So, you know, stay tuned. We're going to definitely keep you updated on our Facebook page about any more Marvel or DC, any comic book related updates, especially with Ant-Man, because that's just chaos at the moment. Moving on to some nostalgic television news. LeVar Burton, famously from Roots and Star Trek The Next Generation, or as many of you may know him from Reading Rainbow, has actually started a Kickstarter project to bring back Reading Rainbow for every child everywhere. That's not a random sentence. That's actually part of the Kickstarter project. A couple days ago, this project was, you know, first put onto Kickstarter with a goal of $1 million. The goal was shattered in less than a day, and it's already at $3 million with 28 days to go, and now they're looking for a stretch goal of $5 million. The whole purpose of this is they want to bring back Reading Rainbow and bring the entire library to, like, 7,500 classrooms. And then they want it to be this app to be available on every device, you know, mobile, Android, consoles, everywhere, and on the web itself. So it's a very, very cool idea, you know, very nostalgic idea. And it's cool that LeVar would want to, you know, be the face of Reading Rainbow again and, you know, do something so nice, you know, for the children. So, do you guys remember watching Reading Rainbow when you were younger? And if so, do you think children nowadays will, you know, actually come to love it as much as we did?
I remember watching it, and I think they could. I think it was a very interesting. It's a very nice way to present reading to kids, and reading is something that a lot of kids don't necessarily do, and it's not their fault. They're just children. It's not like a 5-year-old's going to pick up War and Peace and go, oh, I want to read this. But it's cool. I like the fact that he wants to make it free on the internet, free and available. So if you have an internet connection, you can watch Reading Rainbow. And so I think this is a really nice way to kind of bring back a project that's obviously near and dear to his heart, but also a project that obviously has touched the lives of a lot of people, considering how quickly the funds were raised.
Yeah, I was, when you first told me, I was like, who the hell cares? But then, you know, you see the Kickstarter thing. Listen, before you doubt, I was the biggest Thomas the Tank Engine, train engine fan. I had bedspreads, clothes. I might have had the real tank. I had toys up to wazoo. I still have them in my attic. I am the biggest fan with this. However, I will say that this is, you know, it's a nice idea. It's they definitely thought it out. It has good intentions. I love it. Unfortunately, George Carlin won't be involved, which is the only reason I won't be watching it. But you know, what the hell? This is, you know, this is a good effort. This can resurrect his career, I guess, in a way. You know, I'm all for it. I won't watch it. But, you know, I'm all for it. Go right ahead. Why not?
It's not designed for you.
But
it's designed for the children.
For small children who can't read yet.
Yes.
But I can't read.
Well, then I suppose it is designed for you.
The cool thing.
You know what you should do?
What's that?
Take a look. Because it's in a book. It's Reading Rainbow.
But you feel good after saying that, don't you?
I do. I love that.
He does.
Pat on the back for Lucas.
Now, not only do they want to put Reading Rainbow on the web, but they also want to build specialized classroom versions and deliver it free to schools in need, which is a really cool concept, honestly.
That's nice.
It is really nice. So you can pledge right now. There's 28 days left. I mean, when this podcast posts, there's probably going to be less days left, but... there's no way you're going to not see this on the internet. A lot of people have been sharing it, you know, a lot of major websites and everything, because it's a really great cause, and it's such, you know, hits you right in the 90s nostalgia. So I would definitely take a look. And if you're a Kickstarter, you know, viewer and pledger, I would definitely give this thing a chance. And just to go back to something that Ryan said, I was actually the biggest Thomas the Train.
I will fight you.
Engine fan. I had the sheets. I still have the toys too in my attic.
Do you have the diecast toys?
Yes, I did have the diecast toys. Yep.
I was more of a fan of Percy, to be honest with you.
I tell you what, you get the hell out of this house right now. Right?
Percy was cool.
Al,
What was the tractor's name? The tractor guy was my favorite, but
Reary?
That sounds weird. Probably not. No. Well,
I tell you what, Al. You come down here. You get your collection. I'll get my collection. We'll show each other our collections, and you'll see how I beat you. All right? Because I was the biggest fan, and I will fight you till I die.
You got a deal. Moving on to our final topic of the night, the one we usually save for last. It's usually the best for last, but unfortunately tonight is not the case. This week, Trailer Talk, we tackle Brett Ratner's Hercules, starring Dwayne Johnson. Now, this is the second trailer for the upcoming film, and my God, this looks horrible. Honestly, we've seen a string of some bad period pieces of like this time. Like, we've seen, The Legend of Hercules recently, and then... what was that other 300 wannabe?
Clash of the Titans, Wrath of the Titans.
Yes, and we got a couple of... there was another one.
Sequel to 300.
Oh, there was the sequel to 300, but that's not the one I was thinking of. But regardless.
Taken 2?
It was not Taken 2.
Yes. no, you got it.
Since we've seen 300, they've been trying to recapture that awesomeness, and it has been failing miserably. Brett Ratner, pretty much one of the most overpaid and terrible directors that is currently working today, has teamed up with one of the coolest action stars at the moment, Dwayne Johnson. You know, he's the guy that you bring in to revive a franchise, not make it worse. You know, he successfully helped out the Fast and Furious franchise, Journey to the Center of the Earth. He also helped. Oh, and also G.I. Joe. So, you know, obviously he was a smart choice to pick for, you know, for a brooding action star. But the footage from this movie looks terrible. I mean, it's got a really odd and misplaced supporting cast with Ian McShane and John Hurt, you know, surrounded by this jacked The Rock. I don't know. I just thought that the footage was as cheesy as, you know, all those other movies we listed, and really doesn't look like it brings anything new to the table besides some bad writing and some pretty terrible CGI. What about you guys?
I mean, you pretty much said it. The CGI look kind of terrible. The writing doesn't look all that inspiring. It looks like they managed to cram all of his most popular enemies into one movie. I feel like that's been done before in a certain franchise that we try not to speak of, starring a certain awkward person. but I just think it's going to be kind of lame. It, you know, it looks generic. It's not going to be bad. It's just going to be lame and not something that I want to shell out my time to go watch.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it Dwayne Johnson is the most intriguing part of this whole project. He's really trying. You can see in the trailer, he's really trying. He got insanely big again. You know, you think he looks like a tick. He's about to pop, this guy. But he's awesome. The movie, however, yeah, it looks like it's over before it even began. You got Brett Ratner, lame CGI, weird supporting characters with, yeah, the dialogue. Who are you? They must have asked him like 50 times in the trailer, both trailers. It looks like a lame crossover between The Rock's earlier movie, The Scorpion King.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
And Jason and the Argonauts, which unfortunately became Clash of the Titans with some other D-bag that doesn't exist anymore. Sam Worthington. So nothing new to the table. It's just going to be a lame... he kills everything with his sword, and he's a man. His wife looks like it's killed. He's Hercules. And again, if you missed it, he's Hercules. So this one's a pass for me.
Yeah, definitely a pass.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Us at News Over Brews, we definitely don't recommend seeing Hercules, even though we haven't actually seen the finished product, but just by judging the trailer, who wants to see it? And that's going to about wrap it up for another episode of News Over Brews. I'm Al Manarino, and I can use another beer.
And I'm Ryan DeMarco. Lucas, quick joke. Why does Dr. Pepper come in a can?
I don't know, Ryan.
Because his wife died.
Oh! I'm Lucas Jones, and I have no idea what's going on.
I'm also reconsidering why Ryan's in this podcast. Thanks for listening.